Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora and welcome to Running Together, the podcast where every runner has a story. I'm Pete.
And I'm Alex.
We love running, but more importantly, we enjoy sharing the stories of others' running journeys through life.
Each week, we sit down with an amazing person who runs, whether fast or slow, short or long distance, to hear the highs, lows, and everything in between. Let's get into it.
Kia ora, and a hearty greetings to you all. From me, Pete, and Alex.
大家好, 我是Alex, aka The Hype Man.
Indeed you are. This is Running Together. What are we all about, Alex?
We share the stories of people's lives who are runners, the impact running has on life, and the impact life has on running. Great. Let me say it again. The impact running has on life and the impact life has on running. I love it. It's about journey. It's never so much about the performance.
Brilliant. Thanks, Alex. Our guests are always people that we find fascinating to start with, and even more so once we have finished our chat. We have a time limit, so it can be a real challenge to keep within that limit with all the interesting aspects of their journey. For today, we are blessed with not only one, but two guests.
Yay!
They know each other well and have been on some truly epic adventures together. We have been blown away just by the information that friends of them have provided, and we are sure there will be much more to uncover about what they have achieved, how it affects their lives, and those of the ones who supported them. So, let's get into finding out more. Andrew and Anna Yip, welcome to Running Together.
Ta-da!
Thanks
welcome.
Very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Delighted to be here.
Oh, nice.
Our pleasure to have you.
Okay, I see here you share some information. Oh, okay, let's go backwards. I would like to start at the end first. All right. You two are married with two lovely, beautiful daughters. Tell me, Anna, how old are they?
Almost 9 and 6.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Still growing.
Yeah.
Okay, forgive the personal question. I'm going to ask one. How did you guys celebrate a Valentine's Day this year?
We did the Tauira Mila.
Oh.
165 Ks of goodness.
165 Ks of goodness. And just for anyone who isn't aware of where Tauira is,
it's in Rotorua.
That's okay.
In North Island.
You will have to do it once in a life, right?
But I'm not sure about that.
Oh, well, yeah.
What, do it once. It? Yeah. Maybe not the Mila, but definitely. Atmosphere-wise, pretty epic.
It's so great. This year is like Valentine's Day.
I know, right?
Most of the people were like, that weekend is a crazy weekend, all right? The whole Christchurch was so quiet because they divide into the three directions and they went to either Bola Marathon and they went to coast to coast and then the rest went to Tarawela.
Yep,
what a weekend.
Someone did not talk and coordinate and schedule those together.
Well, it's just a chat, you know?
Yeah. So tell us about it. Tell us about the experience.
It sort of took us 35 and a half hours. Cutoff was 36. And our goal, you know, when we set this out, well, when I set this out, was just that we would be finishing it, not for a time outside of beating that cutoff. But it was... It was pretty incredible. So I did Tauira 50K in 2025, and it was a brilliantly sunny day. Loved everything about it. And I got to the finish line, and then the next day, we were going down to the village green and still cheering on these people who were, you know, been running overnight and doing the 100 and the miler there. And I was like, oh my God, I want my wife to experience this. I want to do this together. So I guess it was a case of like, yeah, let's get this plan in place and see if this would even be feasible. So with some begging to the my parents, because they would have to look after the our dog and our two girls. And thankfully, they said yes. They said yes.
Well, very supportive.
Very supportive. Very. It wouldn't have happened had that not. But then sort of at that point in time, Anna had at most done only a half marathon, right?
Yeah, I hadn't done my first marathon then.
Yeah, so.
Jeez, you just grabbed her into that.
Yeah, 100%. I had to plan it though. Like I couldn't just put it out there because she had already lined up the first marathon at Christchurch 2025. So after she completed that, that was her first full marathon, and I wanted to pace her for that as well. So I did it alongside her, and she did a fantastic time. I think it was like 4 hours, 16 minutes or so. And
first one.
Yeah, first one.
That's not bad.
No, no. And I was like her mobile aid station, so I had all her bottles and stuff, had her gels, and would sprint to the next aid station to fill up her bottles and get stuff for her.
Yeah, it was a great help, not having to worry about all that stuff.
Yeah, just lighten the burden. And I think it was a good test. I just wanted to see how we were. Be like running together. I mean, granted, you know, 4 hours isn't 35 and a half hours or so. But it was just to see how we would sort of interact or be together. And it worked well. So then just said, hey, Anna, I've got some news.
Straight away.
Just the idea. Maybe not straight away. Maybe give her a week. But hey, you know, got this fantastic idea. And you know, truth be said, I was shocked because she didn't actually like instantly dismissed it. She was like, oh yeah, okay, cool.
I think she was in shock.
Yeah, maybe.
I wasn't shocked. I'm like, it's like 161K. I'm like, that's a long way.
A long way. But no, and so I guess that began the journey in terms of that experience, in terms of heading to Tauwera. And like, I think in my head, I knew that obviously I've been running for a good while and had done sort of your 50K type events. So it was a case of whatever Anna needed in terms of her training. She was priority just so she could get as fit as she could to make it to the end.
Yeah. Because after you told me you were doing the mile, you're like, oh, by the way, you have to do a 50K to requirement. I'm like, seriously?
It's kind of like you want to do a marathon. You have to do the 30K in order to do the full marathon.
I had to figure out how if I would either do it like a race or whether I would like just do like a, just get some friends together and just do a 50K. So I was like, oh.
Wow. But I think we were both very lucky that, so there's a running coach, Vicky Havel, the dreaded runner, who was sort of starting out her own sort of coaching platform and was looking for volunteers or like picking out, a couple of people to sort of take them on their journey. And Anna was selected. And like she was pretty like critical, essential for your training, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it would have been pretty like. So I think the first challenge was Naseby 50Ks that Anna had, which would have been your longest distance.
Yeah.
And like, I think I initially was like, oh yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there to help you, you know, when you need it, as well as looking after the two young girls. And then, like, quickly, I think Vicky was like, oh, hey, look, I can come down and you know, just crew you and support you. And I was like, oh, first I was like, oh, it should be okay. And then I was like, oh, yeah, okay, maybe it's a good idea. And then, you know, in reality, thank God she came because my two were having a handful way. So there was no way that I would be able to help Ed or out at all.
Yeah, it didn't help that Emily got sick the morning of the 50K race.
But, you know, Anna had quite a few sort of other runs, like the Valley Ultra 24, which I don't know if anyone's done it before, but I've done quite a few, but I still rate that 24K as one of the hardest runs I've ever done.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Beautiful sights and everything, but yeah, one of the hardest ones.
Thought about 24K, it's not much.
Yeah, you should give it a go, Alex. Oh, wow. You should sign up. I believe that.
This guy like to go around to sign people up for all sort of challenge, right?
I think I'm in trouble here.
Just the fur. It's a fur that gets people, right?
And then Anna had the Crater Rim as well,
Yeah, there are two ones.
So that's a decent build-up. Anna, can you describe what is the difference between running a marathon on the streets of Christchurch with the support of your dear husband and the Tarawera Miler, mostly in a storm on muddy trails?
I heard condition was pretty bad on that.
Tarawera was very challenging. It was muddy. The 2 days before, it was like we arrived into Tarawera, it was like raining, just this relentless rain. I'm like, oh my God, it's going to be horrible. It's going to be hard to run on it. And then there was also, it wasn't fun and mud, so much mud.
And there was a bit of wind as well.
And it was humid. Like, obviously, Christchurch, like, we're not used to humidity. So 4 o'clock in the morning, it was so hot, just starting it. Yeah, so hot.
I didn't realise that was part of the problem. So obviously, you need to really look after your hydration on such a long run.
Yeah, just making sure you're keeping hydrated, making sure you're filling with food correctly. So that was great help, having a coach to help me with the hydration and food, nutrition, because that was
Yeah, there's just so much more involved when it comes to the different, say, obviously the longest race was the Naseby 50, and now you've got 165Ks. Yeah. Did you really, really, really feel in your heart and in your sort of head as well that Alex had fully prepared this? Did you think, no, it's all fine, everything's, I'm in very safe hands, and he knows exactly what he's doing. I'm putting you on the spot here, aren't I?
Oh, I guess I was as prepared as I possibly could. Like I had a coach who got me to, as prepared as I could be. So I really, thankful that I had her because she was a huge support. Just with Naseby, it was like every 10K you had an aid station so you could get everything But this was a lot more challenging.
We did it though.
We did it. And we also had a race plan that my coach had put together for us, so that helped a lot.
It was definitely interesting the day before at the race briefing where it was absolutely buckling down.
Yeah.
And, getting the weather alerts on your phone saying pretty much if you don't need to do anything essential outside, then you should stay indoors.
Oh, wow.
And then I think the next morning it was actually clear. It was actually really good. I was like, oh, maybe it's just come through really quick and it's actually going to be terrific. It was for the first 3-4 hours. Then it let us know that, no, it hadn't fully finished. I think there was only one flight that actually made it into Rotorua on that Friday. Everyone else got cancelled, so it was actually sort of nervous times in the morning at the airport as well.
And were there any real surprises that you can sort of pick out, looking back on it?
We managed to survive 35. I pretty much knew that was, No, not really any surprises, no.
Yes.
I guess even Andrew, you only run the longest distance you run before Tarawera was 50K.
Yeah, I had done sort of a backyard ultra, so I'd sort of done 16 hours there, and I've done a couple of maybe just under 100K type things.
So this is also a new thing.
I think in my head, maybe I was just naive. I just thought, okay, cool. Those other events, I guess I was running and racing. Whereas this, I'm not really racing, so I should be able to extend myself and, to last that distance and help.
No pressure.
No pressure. And then help Anna as well.
Yeah.
But in reality, no, it was really hard. I feel like just with the weather conditions and I guess the time that we were sort of, like, we were pretty on track for the first, like, 30. I think we were, compared to the race plan, we were up by, like, an hour. And it was like, yep, that's cool. We got that in the bank. And then I think the weather started to turn and started getting really hard. So at every aid station that we ended up at, it was like the walking wounded, like a war zone.
I heard about it. Yeah, there's people are just lying there.
Yeah, just in terms of their feet, hey, everyone was waiting to get their blistered seen and stuff. And it was not a good sight. At one particular one, I think it was like at Outlet, 88 Ks in, Anna had needed to get changed and tend to her blisters. And essential to do, just ate into the time. And I just remember around 2 a.m., I was like, oh, it's still backing down. Like, I'm not having that much fun. Like, I don't know. I feel like should we call this? Like,
You haven't seen the light at the end of the tunnel or something like that, right?
And, like, being in bed would be so much better.
Oh, man. You start having all those imaginations popping up. Yeah.
You do, because it didn't really help that we had, like, a 5K mud buff down this hill. And, like, usually with mud, you've got, like, you can go round it, but there was no way.
No,
you
just go around
it. To run it through. So
you're pretty much just sinking into the mud, like, up to your knees. That's a place that was horrible.
Yeah, it was almost like a downhill slalom.
Yeah, like, you know, you're just, like, trying to stay upright, and then you're flying over, and your poles get all dirty.
Nothing goes right.
Andrew's like, that 2 meters ahead of me. And I was like, oh, I'm just struggling. Okay. I'm like, not yet.
I mean, I have run a marathon, but that's just a marathon, you know. I know people are bragging about, oh, I've done the marathon, but for me, it's like, runner to runner, right? I just run a marathon, but why would you guys do that, like run that far?
For me, it really was since I did it the year before, and I just really thought it would be a huge sense of achievement for us to both do that, to overcome.
Running together.
Yeah,
that's
running together.
That's the name of this show, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
How about you, Anna?
As Andrew said, something to do together. Because, like, we don't really run much together with two young kids. We usually do our own runs. So it's nice to do something together we can accomplish together.
Yeah. And it's a big, big accomplishment.
That's a big.
I'm in awe of the people who run marathons. And here we are talking about something that's almost four consecutive marathons.
Yeah, you
and
think about that way, eh? Non-stop, four marathons.
And it's not on the smooth road surface or something like this, like you typically hear on, you know, your Christchurch marathon. It's got lots of uphills, it's down dales, down muddy tracks and rough trails and so on and so forth. So that's pretty special. How do you feel after having done it? You should feel pretty proud of yourself, but how do you feel?
I definitely do. That's why I guess I wear the Punamu, you know, which Anna, if you're successful, then you get to sort of pick one. You know, me and Anna, we picked one for each other, which I think is really special, and I always wear it as a good reminder of what we've achieved. But I think there's one thing that we completed it, but a miler. But the sheer fact that we completed it under those conditions, I think, is just as gives me a lot of pride. Because, you know, like 40% of the people didn't finish
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's almost half of it.
Yeah. So out of 500, I think 300 completed it and 200, you know.
That's crazy.
Weren't able. And, you know, we had a lot of friends who sort of helped us, support us along the way. Which was critical.
The team behind the team.
Yeah. Right.
Andrew, you enter your dear wife into this event after she had only previously done a single marathon. Your routine, I mean, you guys just mentioned about you have daughters to look after, right? Hardly for you two actually training, running together. And how do you actually, when the things get clashed, the conflicts, how do you actually manage it?
We talk about it and, like, would you have nights allocated? Like, I might run on a Monday night, then Andrew will run on a Tuesday night, I'll run on a Monday night, and then Andrew will run on a Thursday night. And then during the weekends, one of us will do a long run on Saturday, that one will do a long run on Sunday, and just tag team in and out.
Rotating.
Because there's no way we can really do it because we're so.
And I'm sure it's the same as what sort of other guests that you've spoken to or other runners with young children, where like you obviously don't want to sacrifice your time with the kids. So one of the options is like you just have to run super early.
You just have to get up. Yeah. So I thought of say that answer is coming, right? Yeah, once they got up.
But I feel like the kids like I think they understand what we're doing quite often. They're like, who's going out for the run today?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, oh, it's mum or it's dad.
Or sometimes they get upset. Like, do you have to go out for a run? It's like, yeah, like, why are you going running? I think train for a big race.
But I'm sure, like, it'll be more later when they become a bit older where they can comprehend it. But I feel like they do. Like, I think they're quite proud of what we've achieved.
100%.
Well, that's one of the reasons I run is for my kids.
Yeah.
Wow. That's the motivation behind it.
Brilliant. So you're still together? You're still together in front of me?
Still got the ring.
So I still got the ring. So I've checked. And so it's clearly all worked out. What have you learnt from the experience about yourself and about each other?
I think I can do like hard things that I was surprised that I could actually do something. You know, if you put your mind to it, you can do something. You just keep on going. And
very few have done what you've done.
Yeah, that's true. The injuries are very good support. Like, we know I need. It was very good. Like, when I threw up at the 100K mark, you just looked after me and said, I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to finish the race. Like, let's just walk and we'll just see how we go. So we're just always supporting each other. Mm. Yeah, it was.
Nobody knows if they're going to finish their race or not, Anna.
No.
Yeah.
So, having someone beside you.
Yeah, well, I think that really did help, having Andrew next to me. I think if I just do it by myself, I don't think I could have, like, keep going, especially through the night, because that was where your thoughts of demons probably hitting you.
Yeah, well, it's such a long way, and your body's telling you, sleep. Although probably not in the muddy ditch, but even the muddy ditch is probably feeling better than doing some more running. So,
wouldn't be too surprising that I guess I'm a lot more confident or like a bit of more self-belief in terms of my abilities to get through some challenging sort of times and hours and stuff like that. But I think. Yeah, I think I learned a lot from Anna, right? Like, just in terms of, like, how strong she really is. At that 2 a.m. when I was thinking of, like, pulling out type thing, I think if Anna had sort of said...
waiting for each other.
But she didn't. And, like, she was, like...
permission to leave.
Yeah, but the whole time she was just determined, like, didn't even raise it at all, when it got really tough. And that's all credit to her. I feel like it was more that... it wasn't the fact that she didn't want to let me down. She probably just didn't want to let her coach down. No.
I did have like my doubts for a long way, but I've kept it for myself a lot. But I'm like, well, Andrew's here beside me. Like, we can do this together. Yeah.
And I think that was one of the, Anna said that I think that we were doing it together and supporting each other as opposed to some of the other people. I think that made a difference.
To extend that a little bit further, Alex, you mentioned about the doing it with a team. So for yourselves, actually, as far as that preparation is concerned, you were talking about the race itself. But if you think of all of the lead up to it, not just do all the training, which obviously requires a considerable amount of dedication, preparation, planning, especially when, busy parents, you've got jobs and all sorts of things like that. But you've also got the support people. And that requires something that you can't buy, and that's friendship. People who are willing to be in your corner, they're willing to travel all that way and be in crappy conditions. They're not going to say at the end of it that they've done a miler, because they haven't, obviously you have, but they're there to support you. Can you share a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, we had a couple of runners, Mike Gibson and Brad Favell, who were doing the Milan with us, and they were like, me personally, I thought it was actually really important that especially Brad, because he was the one who was like constantly talking to Anna and just trying to keep her motivated and getting her mind off what we were doing, and I think that was really important. It was just a shame he wasn't able to make it to the end. But then also, like, we had Mark Boone, he had finished the 50K, and he was like, I apologized to him and sort of already, but like, I think we like maybe three quarters of the way in, and he just popped out of nowhere, right? He's just like there, and like you could hear him in advance, and then like there he is. And I think at that time I was just in a real dark place and I was just not engaging with him, mate. You know, I did actually appreciate having him there and popping up. I think it was really, really important. And then likewise, I think one of the last aid stations, Brad, who had pulled out, as well as his wife, Vicky, and Aaron, who yeah, likewise finished the 50, the 21. They were there and it was actually a breath of fresh air. It was like gave us, I guess, a bit of a boost and what we needed. And likewise, like, you know, he was helping us fill up our bottles. And anyone who hasn't tried it should give ginger beer a crack. it made a big difference on that final 7K bit for
me. That's the tip.
Yeah, that's a good tip. But then once we finished the miler, and huge achievement, and it was great to see everyone at the finish line cheering us on. I guess I hadn't really planned that side of things as to how we were going to get back to our accommodation. probably an Uber, and maybe an hour before we finished, it started to bucket down again, and Anna wasn't in a fantastic shape, and neither was I, even though I looked like I was. But Mark Boone had some friends from the parkrun community, and, you know, it's fantastic. So they didn't know us. we didn't know them, just through Mark Boone. And they were in the sort of the recovery tent and they were supporting another person. But I think they saw Anna and then just said, we need to help her and get her right. So, you know, that was Rachel, Sarah Jane and Peter, like, didn't know us from bar soap, but then, you know, really attended to Anna. In the end, Sarah Jane and Pete, they gave us a ride back to our accommodation place. And then after they, you know, and there's a picture whereby, you know, pretty much they had Anna, either side was on Anna's, either side of Anna, and just kept walking her into the accommodation place because, yeah, her blisters had jammed up quite a bit.
I had a swollen ankle as well, and they even like found a wheelchair to get me from the recovery tent to their car.
Yeah,
because I could hardly walk because I was so much pain.
And it's really surprising because like in that last 7Ks, like Anna was actually really strong. I was like suffering. I was like, Anna, can we? We've got time in the bank. Can we walk this? Because I honestly cannot walk anymore. Eh? And Anna was
really pumped.
Yeah, she was like, yeah. Maybe it was just the energy.
Yeah, but your power walking was your power walking was faster than I could walk. So I had to like jog quite a bit to try and catch up.
Yeah, Sarah Jane and Pete, after they dropped us off, a couple of hours later, they came back and checked up on us, which really incredible. Yeah. So, you know,
amazing people.
Yeah.
I guess regardless of Mark Boone, runners to runners, I think I'm not even surprised that, you know, you see someone on there when you're running and then you see them need help.
Yeah.
Runners will just go up there to help. Regardless, really they know each other or not.
Very briefly, I've just got to ask you, Anna, what was the best feeling when you got back to the hotel?
Oh, I felt so good. I lied down the bed. Okay, I was like, oh, I've done this. No, I just want to rest.
Brilliant.
What was the first meal you had after that? Definitely not Weet-Bix.
No, I don't think we even had dinner. I just found a can of tin cream rice and then posted nothing. I was so exhausted because I had some like food at the recovery tent. I had some yummy pumpkin soup at the recovery tent.
That's good.
And then
want to rest.
Yeah, I just wanted to rest and just because I was just like exhausted from running, being on my feet for 35 hours. And I think Andrew was the same.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I just needed a shower and then I just wanted bed. I mean, granted, like with most people who've probably done an event, the legs just keep you up, eh? Like it's hard to relax or get in that right position.
We've been there sometime. Yeah. But let's keep time traveling. Let's take a step back in time to 2025. You were together for Christchurch Marathon, which is in April each year now, right? Used to be in June, but it's in April now.
Yeah.
Tell us about that run. How much it meant to you?
That was my first marathon, so it was nice to have Andrew pacing me. I was quite surprised that she wanted to do it with me because Andrew hates like run on the flat. Sri Lanka, yeah.
Oh, so
right.
you thought I already know the answer he's going to give us.
So I was like, are you sure you want? He's like, yeah, are you sure you want to do this? He's like, yeah. So I think originally he's just going to pace me for a half. And then he decided he wanted to pace me for the whole way. So I was really appreciative of that. So it was really nice having him there. And then just give me a bit of a boost. Because, you know, when you're hitting about the 30K mark, wow, it's quite, you sort of get into a mental struggle. So it was nice having him there just to push me along.
Only if you knew you're going to run Tarawela.
well, he did, but I didn't at that point. Someone had said something to me and I was like, what are you on about? No, I don't think so. There's no mile going on here. But obviously, in his head, it was a little, in his head, he obviously was, but I didn't believe him. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Your hubby is a full surprise.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, maybe.
I'm all out of it now. You know, I feel like we got some of our best photos together at that event. And
you normally don't get good photos when you're running the event.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
No. 100%. Yeah.
So that was the one you were talking about. You were like a mobile aid station.
Yeah. 100%.
What were you carrying?
All her bottles, all her gels.
Well, you pretty much had my pack, didn't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
You just got to be there for a run.
Yeah, I just got there to run, yeah. And he's like,
as light as possible.
Yeah, he's like, do you need water or do you need something to eat? You'll just pass it to me. If I had, yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely...
That's an Olympian treatment.
Yeah, it was very nice. Yeah.
Wait, don't you do that for Claire? Surely.
I'll be lucky to get Claire to run for 1K. You know? That's a different story, yeah. I don't have to ask you this question, honestly. You clearly enjoy the longer distance events, right? You guys not just going there. Let's do a 2K run. Right? You guys go big.
I think my sweet spot is around that 50 to 60. So definitely, I feel like that's almost like a half marathon on the flat.
That's definitely longer distance compared to the people, normal people who run 10K in the weekend, all right? So give me some stands out, both in terms of like, let's do it again because it's so fantastic. Oh, no, I'm not going to do this again.
I'm not keen to do another mile again, but I do have half. I probably want to do some longer distances. Mm. Yeah, I want to do the 53 Crater Rim this year, but I haven't really got anything on the plan at the moment.
Crater Rim is good. It's just on our backyard.
Yeah.
There's way easier to be prepared.
Some longer distances, but I just have to work out what I want to do. I haven't quite.
In 2025, I did quite a lot of events, So I did a lot of local sort of events, as well as I was working in Wellington, so I was able to do a few events there, as well as my parents are in Dunedin, so able to use that as a base. There's definitely a few more on the list, but within that 50 to 60K sort of range,
So if I'm asking you, like, hey, Andrew, let's go out for 20K run, you'll be like,
let's go, Alex. When? What time? 7 a.m. is it? Or 5?
I thought about Andrew saying 20K. No, that's my warm-up.
No.
You have to go further, mate.
I think with us having the kids and the training and time and stuff like that, I didn't really change my training too much outside of probably going on slightly longer, but I didn't do anything longer than like 3 to 4 hours.
Wow. And amazing. You just like...
So you should come with me for sure.
Really?
What I got myself to sign up with?
Is it on bikes or?
I haven't done that Horsewell Quarry park run, but you two definitely had lots of experience. Yeah, I believe of the running the area, but tell us about that amazing Horsewell running group.
Both sporting shirts.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've been in Christchurch for about 4.5 years, sort of moved from Wellington, where that was pretty much our life. Anna's originally from there. Met Anna in Dunedin, where I'm from, after uni. Not a lot of jobs in Dunedin, so it was like, let's give Wellington a crack and love it there. I was sort of a road runner there, so I've been running for a really long time on the roads.
Oh, so you do run on the road?
You're
the caveman running in the mountains. I just don't see you around.
Most of the time. It was, I guess, for me back then, it was sort of a solo running, lone wolf type thing. It was my thing, my outlet, I guess.
Your meditation time.
Yeah. Well, you know, some people say that the best ideas come from when they're having a shower or a bath type thing. For me, I was able to solve a lot of problems or work problems on
while
these runs.
Running.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're not running hard enough. I don't think like when I'm trying to push myself. I'm absolutely out of my mind, you know. Yeah.
But then when we moved to Christchurch, I guess we didn't know a lot of people here. And we actually, I think we thought that the kids would be the ones that struggle, but it was actually more us. And maybe a year into it, because I was working remotely full time at home, and I think I was suffering mentally.
Hard. Yeah, that's hard.
Because I'm definitely one of those characters who like to be in the office and chatting quite a lot. Yeah, it was a real struggle. And then had a friend suggested having a look at some of the local running groups, and sort of Hawesville Run, which is really close to where we are, popped up and went to one of the runs and pretty much haven't left. Love it to bits. So, you know, from the social point of view, and just inclusive, incredible bunch of people. Things have changed in terms of, like, you know, my needs for longer runs and stuff like that. So I don't go to as many as I used to, but I still try stay actively involved. And it was good that I think it was really important because, you know, I was able to bring Anna along for the ride as well.
You had a good time there, right?
Yeah, because Andrew originally joined first, the run first, and then I used to go along after the Sunday adventure runs to meet Andrew for coffee with the girls. And I was like, I actually really like these people. They're really supportive and encouraging. Like, I want to join. Yeah. So when I originally joined up, I actually joined up to do a Monday walk, not actually run. And then somehow I've got into running.
So. I think that's the beauty of this kind of group. Like, you don't have to go there saying, oh, you have to run in certain level in order to join them.
Yeah.
Anyone is joining. Like, no matter you walk, you jog, you run.
100%.
Obviously, the hospital query is something you enjoyed it, right? I've done that once. I think I remember that was like 10K series back then. I definitely not enjoy that. The back of that query is just bloody windy and hard. But you guys definitely had a good time there.
It's definitely been a good place. So it's encouraged me to do a lot of running there if I don't want necessarily have done. If I was just running by myself, I would have done a lot of these races.
Because you want to see these people.
Yeah, like being pushed to do like my first
team. Real supportive, eh?
Yeah.
It's incredible the number of people who, as long as they consistently just turn up, it's incredible where their running journey's gone. And, you know, when you look back now, like the people who joined when we first had, like, you know, they're doing really long distances as well.
When did they start the park run?
I feel like that might be
year ago, was it? Yeah,
it's really new park run now.
I think a year and a half or so. If we can do it with our girls like we did today, this morning, then you should be able to do it.
Like, no problem. Running down the hill.
That 5K, I can say yes. Yeah. You know, I'm not sure about those 50K, 60K you guys doing, but 5K, Corey, I can do that.
Okay. Yeah.
Shout out to Hawesville Running Group.
Hawesville Run.
Hawesville Run.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Fantastic.
When do you guys normally run?
Hey, look, there's almost a session every day of the week, even sometimes two. And then a good old long run on the Sunday as well as, you know, with the park run as well.
Okay, so if people want to find you guys, you guys have a Facebook?
Look us up on Facebook and make sure you answer the mandatory questions, and then I'm sure we can let you in.
Something slightly different, strides time.
Strides time!
So we had the quick fire rounds. So Anna and Andrew, please give me the answer that comes to mind first. So we'll give you some options for each of the questions.
They're not tricky, don't worry.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes, good stuff. So here we go. Ladies first, Anna. Favourite running shoes?
Adidas.
At the end of a run, you need hydration. These are options. Water, Gatorade, Powerade, chocolate milk, protein shake, coffee, tea, juice or beer?
None of those.
Really? I've given you 10 options. Okay. What is it? Which would you like?
After a run.
Yep.
Sometimes I'd like a Coke Zero.
There you go.
I should have put
How
that
come
in
we
there?
Don't have that in there, right?
Coke Zero.
I'll do remember that I'll put in there next time.
Okay, that's cool. Sorry, I'll actually just go back probably for time's purposes. I'll actually just have the answers straight up. So otherwise I'll have to complete repeating the questions. So favourite running shoes for you, Andrew?
Probably my Tribuca Maxes.
Yes.
Essex.
Let's go up that's for the trial. Yeah.
And what about, do you want me to go through the various options? Do you like a Coke Zero as well?
Chocolate milk.
Chocolate.
There you go. That's a typical trial runner's option.
A very traditional one.
Yeah.
Anna, you first, uphill or downhill?
Downhill.
And Andrew?
Uphill.
Hey! Good combination. So we have here the options. trail, this will be obvious, but anyway, trail, road, cross country, or track? Anna?
Trail.
Okay, that's to be expected. Choice of favourite running distance? We don't have any really long, long runs here. A 15K long run, we call that a long run anyway.
It is a long. It's only all those crazy people doing the 51. Yeah.
A marathon at Buller, an 800 metres at Napoona Way Athletics Track, or a 5K in Hagley Park? Anna?
The 15K.
15K long run?
Yeah.
In the Port Hills?
15K.
But the Buller Marathon is 12.
Yeah, I
get it. Oh, running together.
Yeah, Alex, are you free? You can look after the girls?
Oh, look at that. Yes, right. Yeah, I can definitely. Well, I can't run that long, but I'm going to make myself useful.
Okay. Your favorite running workout? A long run, short intervals, long intervals, tempo runs, hill runs, or fartlek? Anna?
Hill run.
Hill run, very good.
Yeah, hill run.
Both of your hill runs. Morning or afternoon?
Both. It sort of depends on my day.
Okay, Andrew?
Mornings.
You prefer mornings. You probably don't need this very often, but anyway, let's try it. Warming up or cooling down?
Cooling down.
That's the first time I've heard that for a while. Andrew?
Warming up.
Relays or individual runs?
Individual.
Individuals?
Andrew? Individual.
Okay. And finally, a runner or a coach you greatly admire, or a coach, by the way. Now, it can't be your spouse. So,
yeah.
Okay, Anna.
Nah.
I probably admire my coach I've just had, the Judah Runner. She's been a big influence on my ultra running. So she's sort of started me off on my ultra running journey. So
shout out to?
Vicky Havel, Judah Runner.
Brilliant. And Andrew?
So I can't pick my spouse. Can I pick myself? No, it's only joking. No, I
love myself.
No, I don't think I could pick one individual. I feel like it's a whole running community who's given me advice and stuff like that.
Will you look at that?
Okay, so are we going to limit it to what about Horsville Run?
Yeah, it's Horsville Run.
Horsville Run. So that's the first time we've actually gone for a group rather than one individual.
All right. Seems why I got all the personal questions. You get to ask all those deep questions, Pete. Okay, another personal question, guys. Andrew, Anna, I've heard your daughters dance, both of them.
Yes.
And I saw the photo of you, Andrew, you are in the dancing position. You know, have you ever decided to run in a tutu?
Yes.
Or dress as a ballerina? If so, tell me.
Yep, pretty sure I have.
You have?
I use track, but like I feel like I've done it in a few outfits, you know, onesies and stuff like that. But yeah, definitely a tutu.
You're going to show me that photo, mate. Yeah, I can't picture
a guy like you. You know, I even wore one to work one day.
Oh, God. This guy's so full of surprise. Now we end up, time travel. We're back all the way to the beginning now.
So what got you into running, Andrew?
What got me into running? I think it was just work. I feel like it was work. More work pressure, eh?
Were you in Wellington or?
Yeah. I think it was just needing an outlet. And like many people think, it's just easy to put on some shoes and go running. I mean, it's such a cheap sport, isn't it? Yes.
Not when you get into a trail running.
Yeah, I know.
And all those races.
The watches and all that sort of going on, right? And the entry fees. Yeah, real cheap. Yeah, just go.
And Anna?
Horsville Run got me into running. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they've been very supportive on my running journey. So, yeah, this having that running community behind me has been great.
I really have to go into this run group, like, at least to have a run, though.
Well, I feel like it's such a big running community here in Christchurch that
absolutely.
You shouldn't necessarily belong to one. Like, I've gone to quite a few. You are the 6-minute man, you know, you and Sean and Oscar,
likewise,
to run, eh? Yeah, I think it depends on if you guys are having fried chicken, you know.
And I also do like a women's trail run group, like every Tuesday fortnight.
So Andrew's group, right?
Yeah, should be further faster.
Yeah, further faster.
They just go run through the Port Hills, which is great. Just better to just run with women.
Colin, yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. That's brilliant. I have really enjoyed hearing of your adventures, Anna and Andrew. your experiences and how running seems to have enhanced your lives, brought you closer together, made you learn more about each other and yourselves. So thanks, Andrew and Anna Yip, for joining us and sharing your journeys on running together. You are the epitome of our title.
Running together.
Oh, that's nice.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks.
Wow. What a lovely couple with so many great stories to tell. Shall we start a conversation pace? Yes, let's start it now. Off we go. A search into science spiel. What do you have for us today, Pete?
Thanks, Alex. Yes, we have a very topical piece of research that was published in 2025, so very recent, from, I'm not too sure how to pronounce this, but Aarhus, I think it is, University in Denmark. So have you ever injured yourself during running, Alex, or from running?
That's a silly question. Like, I feel like if I can get $1 for each injury I got, I'll be a rich man now.
Yep. I think the exact statistics are unclear, but typically something over 50% of regular runners are injured in a 12-month period. Now, of course, what is an injury? Is it a so-called niggle or a full-blown leg in a cast type? That is where there is not much consistency on how to define an injury. Anyway, the very simple answer is that many, perhaps most runners in a given 12-month period have an injury that prevents them from running without significant pain for at least, say, 3 or 4 days. Back to the research. The researchers were looking at how much running increases the risk of injury. We all know that too much, too soon is a recipe for increased risk. What they found was that it wasn't so much the overall increase in volume or mileage, but the increase in the length of the longest run in training. So over a 30-day period, an increase of 10% to 30% resulted in a 64% increased risk of injury, more than 100% increase in your long run. So let's say from 5K long run to a 10K or from a 10K to a 20K, that resulted in 128% increased injury risk. So a very substantial one.
Wow.
So nobody likes getting injured and we're all looking for ways to reduce the risk. There are lots of things that can affect that risk, from sleep, shoes, running speed, intensity, obviously volume or distance increases. The usual rule of thumb is to increase volume each week by about 10%, if you're able and willing. But that doesn't really work. It's too little if you are just starting out and probably too much if you're already running a lot. Additionally, if you have had a break of a month or two, and you traditionally are used to running, say, 60 Ks a week, you can probably safely increase from nothing to that level in a few weeks. Okay, I've definitely talked enough. Your thoughts, mate?
Well,
you train more than me.
So that which means I got more injuries than you, Pete.
I don't know about that.
My personal experience, most of the time people will tell you, listen to your heart. Follow your heart, go with your dream. But this, in running terms, it's completely the opposite. Listen to your body rather than listen to your heart. What I actually feel is when you reach a certain point, that you mentioned about that 10% rules,
yeah.
Is I think you got right on spot of that statement. Is if you only just start running, 10% doesn't seem much. But if you're already running like 50 or 60K a week, you're adding a 10% every week. It's actually quite a significant amount of the mileage you put in, and then your body will react. And then your body will actually tell you, that's what we call niggles. You know, your body will actually start showing those early signs. You're going to be pay attention to learn that. It's also, I heard from somewhere say, it takes courage for you to start running, but it takes wisdom for you to stop, when to stop running. So I think that's very crucial.
Yep, absolutely. And most of us runners or regular runners have experienced the too much too soon or too hard or something like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the body just says, no, I don't like this, and tells us about it.
You know, long story short, this runner from our running groups, like, she seems always got that injuries after every single PB she made. And look, I've been thinking about that after that chat. And then actually I thought about it, it's not something superstitious. It's your body, you know, responding that kind of intensity. Because when you reach the PB, you have to accumulate enough running mileage throughout the week. And then to prepare for that kind of level of intensity, once you've done that, once you reach your PB, you know, obviously you push yourself to the limit. And once you've done that, your body start relaxing. That's when they actually start reacting about those, you know, the impact or damage you're putting into your body. So it actually makes sense if you think about it. Every PB or every big achievement you've done, you get hurt.
Yeah, I think that in our focus on preparing, we might mask in some way some of the issues that we might be having. We might think, oh, no, it's nothing serious. It's important for me just to go and do this training to make sure that I'm fully prepared. And I think equally, especially for those longer distance runs, I mean, I think our guests Anna and Andrew are still sort of suffering a little bit, but the longer and harder the run, the rarer that experience for the body to take. For example, a marathon. People typically don't run marathons often, maybe two or three times a year, even for sort of regular runners. And if that's the case, then their body hasn't really adapted to racing a marathon, if that's what you're doing, rather than just sort of completing it. So I think from that point of view, your body has had this almost like this spike in stress, and it's going to react to that. So it may well be that, you know, your friend, you know, when she does these hard things, her body isn't that familiar with doing that hard thing and therefore responds by going, you know, I'm not very happy now.
Agree.
Please don't do it soon.
Please don't do it again soon, or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And I personally think it's, you can't have that many PBs within that short period of a year. Like, if you look at all those top runners, like Kipchoge, I'm talking about Olympians, all these like 2 hours marathon runners, you don't see them going, you know, all year long to all the different events, different races. They prepare a whole year or 10 months for one event. That's where they push them to the limit. They don't go like, I go 3 marathons this year and I'm going to aim PB them. But that's most of the runners like us, we're trying to do it, right? Every 2 months we go to another event, so let's push a little bit harder. Oh, your body's going to react.
I mean, ultimately, there's a limit to all of us.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Offbeat chat, mate.
Offbeat chat. It's my chance to get myself put into the situation to share some funky, weird, or probably even sometimes I'll say quite funny way to discuss some topic only runners can relate, in my opinion.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. What kind of runner are you? That's the topic of today. I did a bit of research online. So are you ready to start from the first one, Pete?
Go for it. I'm really looking forward to this.
I know. That's why I love this off-bit chat, you know. First type of runner, the gazelle. They move smoothly, making every step look like a graceful jump. They seem to flow, leaving others wondering if they have a springs in their shoes. Oh, you will often find them ahead with a smile.
That's not me.
That's not me either. I've seen lots of fast runners, but to be honest, I don't see many. I haven't seen many the gazelle type of runners. One runner I can give you is Andy Good. He's one of the runners, local runners, and he's that type of a gazelle runner.
Okay.
It's graceful. It looks effortless. The second one, the Stomper, known for their loud footsteps. This runner makes sure everyone knows they're coming, like a green hawk. You can hear them from far, far away, and their running style often shakes the ground a bit. Have you ever met someone like this?
I know a Stomper, and he's a similar age to me, and he's got a similar first name to me, and I'll leave it at that.
All right, so I guess we have a bit of clue now. But
very, very fast as well, though. He's an amazing runner.
He's an amazing runner, yep. I can't deny that. I personally don't have any problem with the Stompers, except that during the race, when one of these type of runners are following you. And then you can feel that kind of pressure behind you, feel the ground shake. Okay.
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, 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 like a green hawk. Number three, the gadget guru. They're carrying the latest tech. This runner looks like a mobile electronic shop. From heart rate monitors to GPS watches, they track every single step and habit. Their running style is all about being exact and precise.
This might be a bit too close to home for me, but yeah, anyway.
Heidi from DJIS.
Is she?
She's that type of lady, like she got everything. If you look at her Strava, right, every single run, every single training session she finishes, she always actually put exactly locked down the record, like that's how the hot race, you know, that's how many Ks we did, what pace, and we did another 500 meters, 800 meters, 400 meters. And she's always got this like latest running shoes. And she's a hell of runners. Yeah, I give her that. Okay. The social sprinter. Oh, I feel like I'm talking to someone in the mirror now. This runner turns every jog into a social event. I feel like I'm looking at a mirror right now, Pete.
Yeah.
They wave at other runners, chat with people passing by, and sometimes stop for selfies. Their running style is more about the journey than the finish line. And they're always ready to make new friends along the way. Do you know anyone who's like this?
Well, apart from you.
Apart from me.
Yeah, there's a few people out there. In fact, yeah, I mean, Ant, one of our earlier shows.
Yes.
He's probably got a bit of a social sprinter about him. And I think Andrew, you know, a guest on today.
Absolutely.
Probably has as well. Yeah, I think it's really helpful to have those social sprinters, I have to say.
Absolutely. Zen jogger, moving at a relaxed pace. This runner finds a peace in every step. They often seem meditating mid-run, enjoying the surroundings with a calm look. Their style is all about being mindful. That's not bad. I sometimes do this, like, I know I'm a quite hype person, but sometimes I feel like I just want to go somewhere, not Hickley Park, not somewhere busy, but going to the border lake or forest, you know, I don't see anyone. Sort of calm yourself down.
I think Yen does that. She actually prays sometimes when she's running, and not praise as in, oh my goodness, I hope I don't get hurt.
Okay.
But praise as in, you know, she finds it a very peaceful, feeling spiritual.
The spiritual.
Especially out in the country.
Absolutely, The last type of runner, the fashion flyer. Dressed in the latest and the most colorful running gears. This runner looks like they've stepped straight out of the sportwear magazine. Oh gosh, I know someone like this.
Okay, no names.
I don't mind because everybody knows him. He's a Chow from DJIS, and he's a great guy. Yes. Yeah, Chow without S. You can tell that by that colorful outfit he's dressing. Orange, bright color, bright yellow, red. And then every time he runs, you know, you just can't ignore. You spot him straight away.
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
There's six types of runners.
Do we need to rate ourselves, or do we need to say which one we are? So
I'm number four, the social sprinter.
Social sprinter.
Yeah.
So maybe a little bit of a gadget guru and maybe a little bit of the Zen jogger.
I was just about to say you're probably more like a Zen jogger. No, when you're doing the 800 meters.
I wish I felt peaceful when I was jogging most of the time. Thanks very much for that, Alex. That's a wrap for today. Delighted to have Andrew and Anna Yip share their extraordinary adventures with us. Talk about running together and thoroughly enjoying it. Just the places they have been. Oh, my goodness. And it's also about the amazing support that people have to make their dreams into reality. That's it for this episode of Running Together. A massive thanks to our guest runner for sharing their journey. We hope you found it as inspiring and fascinating as we did.
If you're keen to connect, join a local run club or share your own story on the Running Together Facebook page. Listen to the past episode on Plans Media or Spotify.
And if you liked what you heard, please give us a share or a shout out. Until next time, look after yourself, and if you're able, someone else as well. Happy running!